Let's turn our Bibles to Micah chapter 6. Book of Micah chapter 6. I'll read for you from verse 1 to verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 8. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Please keep your Bibles open to our text this morning, which is from Micah chapter 6. And as announced, the title of my sermon is The Divine Lawsuit. In verse 2 we read, Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. You know, lawsuits seem to be commonplace today. It's not just in the world, but we find also lawsuits in the church. And you read of a Christian suing another Christian. And this we find in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we find members in the church suing one another. And this earned a very strong rebuke from the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, verse 5, we read, Dare any of you, the Apostle Paul said, Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law, even before the unjust, and not before the saints? I speak to your shame, Paul said. And we know of church members who have no respect, no regard for authority. And they will go even to the extent of taking their pastor or their pastors to court for daring to discipline them or rebuke them for sin or for error. Now we have men suing men. Have you heard of men suing God? Well, this happened not too long ago. On September the 18th, 2007, in the United States, we have a man suing God. Now, this is reported by the Associated Press. And this incredible thing, all right, is reported. And I just read to you the report. Let me quote from the Associated Press. Says here, I quote, State Senator Ernie Chambers sued God last week. Chambers says in his lawsuit that God has made terroristic threats against the senator and his constituents, inspired fear and caused widespread death, destruction, and terrorization of millions upon millions of the earth's inhabitants. The Omaha senator often criticizes Christians and is seeking a permanent injunction against the Almighty. Unquote. What a ridiculous thing, isn't it? Utterly absurd, but today we find people suing God. The state senator from the United States. And aren't we living in the last days where men have no fear of God, no fear for God? And we are living in truly days of great sin and error and apostasy and idolatry, even immorality. And are we not like in the days of, just before the flood, in the days of Noah, where God saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually? And God in his justice had to punish the world the first time by a global deluge, a global flood. And is it not time, considering the signs of the times, the sinful conditions of the world today, is it not time? Is the time not right for God to judge the world again? Of course, this time, no more by water, but by fire. Be a global blaze, as God had prophesied in 2 Peter 3 verse 7. This earth will melt with fervent heat. Now in Micah chapter 6 verse 1 to 8, we find a God who is holy and just. At the same time, we also find a God who is also patient and kind. And in his righteousness, he issues a lawsuit against the nation of Israel, against his people. But at the same time, we also find God offering to his people salvation. If only they will repent of their sins and the error of their ways and be reconciled to him. Let's look at Micah chapter 6. The first two verses gives us God's complaint against Israel. God's complaint in the first two verses. Micah 6 verse 1 and 2. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. Apostasy and compromise were rampant in Israel during the time of the prophet Micah. And the prophet Micah ministered in the 8th century B.C. In those days, the nation of Israel, instead of worshipping the only living and true God who is spirit, they started worshipping idols, Baal, the pagan gods of the nations. And also the people's hearts were dulled to their sin, and they were hardened in their sin, and refused to hear the preaching of the prophets when they preach against their sin and immorality. You see, when there is idolatry, there will be immorality. And the prophets that God sent preach against the idolatry of the people and against their immorality. But the people refused to listen. They hardened their hearts. They continued to choose to go against God and break his commandments. And not only that, put the prophets, the servants of God, to death. And they did what they thought was right in their own eyes. And you can see in the context of their sins, if you turn to Micah chapter 2, and their sins begin with the top, the leaders of the nation. Look at Micah chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Look at the evil and wickedness that plagued the nation of Israel at that time. Micah 2, verse 1 and 2 says here, "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds." You know, when they go to sleep at night, they are thinking how they can do evil the next morning. They were planning, they were plotting, they were conspiring. They were imagining all kinds of mischief and evil and wickedness that they might do the next day. "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand." Verse 2, "And they covet fields." Look at their greed. They coveted others' property. They coveted after their neighbor's land and take them by violence. They would harass, they would bully, they would oppress and take away other people's land, their neighbor's property and houses, and take them away. They steal, they rob. And so they oppress, a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. May we never do such a dastardly thing against our neighbor, against another, to steal and to rob from their possessions and their property, their home. God will not hold us guiltless. And I just want to share with you a burden I have in my heart, and I seek for your prayers for the Far Eastern Bible College. There are those in high places, powerful men, who would deprive the Far Eastern Bible College of her home, her birthplace, her inheritance from the Lord, seeking for us to relocate. And the latest threat is, if we continue to preach and to teach and to defend the 100% perfection of the Scriptures, the verbal plenary preservation of the Scriptures, without any mistake to the jot and tittle, that we believe we have an infallible, inerrant Bible today, without any mistake, will not be allowed to use the Lord's house or the Lord's sanctuary for our evening or night classes. And I want to seek your prayer. Please pray for the college, that the Lord will preserve and protect the college, that we will always have a home to do His work, to do His will at 9 and 9A and 10 Gilstead Road, which is our home, our birthplace, our inheritance from the Lord. Pray for the repentance of those in high places. Pray, if they would not repent, at least the Lord would restrain their hand from doing evil and wickedness. Now, this warning here is very serious. Such things are not, you know, did not only happen in the days of Micah, in days of Israel, in days of apostasy and unbelief. Such things are also happening today. Of course, we are no different. We are all sinful people. And if we are not careful, we can just fall into such sin and error. May we also check ourselves and examine ourselves, that we do not fall into such a sin, but we take God's word seriously and walk righteously before God and before man. And look at chapter 3, verse 9 to 11. It says here, "Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob." Talking to the leaders, to the kings and to the priests. "Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity, They don't care about justice. They don't care about righteousness. They don't care about equity or fairness. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. The kings, the priests, and the prophets, these who were the leaders of Israel, were mercenaries. They rule, they preach, they serve for money. More money, more preach. No money, no preach. Less money, less preach. They are professionals. They're not called at all. Whose God is their belly. And Calvin says, whose religion is their kitchen. And yet will they lean upon the Lord. They still say, oh, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm leaning upon Him. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. They use the name of Christ and they call themselves believers. And say, is not the Lord among us? God is with us. God is on our side, they claim. And none evil can come upon us. No harm will come upon us. Look, we are prospering. We are very successful. We are growing. God is with us. God is for us. And no evil will come upon us, they say. But who is the righteous judge? A righteous judge is not any man. A righteous judge is none other than the Almighty God, who sees all and who knows all. And He can see our heart. And He judges not only our acts, but the very motives and intentions of our heart, whether good or evil. And so here the Lord issues a divine lawsuit against Israel. Jehovah is the righteous judge. And in verse 2 of chapter 6, Micah chapter 6, we find the lawsuit. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy. The Lord's controversy here is His divine lawsuit against Israel, against His people. And He summons His people to His law court, and He has a complaint against Israel. For the people had violated His commandments, they have broken His laws, and they have rebelled against Him. And God called for His witnesses, the mountains and the hills. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy. And here the Lord is not only the judge, He is also the prosecutor. He is both judge and prosecutor here. And He calls the mountains and the hills to be His witnesses. Why? Because the mountains and the hills that have stood for generations were all witnesses of the crimes of Israel against her God. They stand as testimonies against the sins of Israel. And Israel cannot run away from her sins. And the mountains and the hills do not forget what Israel had done against her God. And really, by using the mountains and the hills to be witnesses, God was in fact indicting Israel for her folly and her stupidity. You know, God had repeatedly sent His prophets. And the prophets had spoken to them, and they understood the words of the prophets. When the prophets preach against their sin and warn of the judgment of God to come, they heard, they understood. They could see that they have sinned against God and how they have broken God's commandments. But they wouldn't listen. They hardened their hearts. And would not turn from their ways. And even kill the prophets. And so since they wouldn't listen to the prophets, now the Lord summoned the mountains and the hills. Inanimate objects, lifeless, but nonetheless, they are witnesses. And in fact, God is telling the Israelites, you know, the mountains and the rocks which do not have eyes and do not have ears have more knowledge and understanding than you who are so utterly blinded and hardened by your own sinfulness and stupidity. The mountains and the hills have more knowledge and understanding than you. They testify of your blindness, your hardened hearts, your stiff neck, and your rebellion against God, which is utterly stupid and foolish of you to do. And God's covenantal relationship with Israel here is the reason for the lawsuit. Because God has a relationship with His people. God has made a covenant with them. And the lawsuit here is not a vengeful one, but a loyal one. God was showing His loyalty and faithfulness to His people. He has only done good for them, but they have returned evil and gone against Him. They have dealt with Him treacherously. And here, the lawsuit was not meant to abrogate the covenant that God made with His people, but to convict Israel of her sin and her waywardness. You know, Israel was a mixed multitude. The nation of Israel, there were those who were unbelievers. Also those who were false believers. Those who are believers but disobedient. Disobedient believers. Just like in the church today. Every church on earth, the church local, is a mixed multitude. I'm sure there are unbelievers here. There may be false believers. And how about disobedient believers? Are there backsliding ones in our midst? And God is addressing us, the church, today as well. Have we sinned against God? Have we broken His commandments? Then the Lord has a lawsuit for us too. And today, if we will hear His voice, we ought not to harden our hearts, but to repent of our sins. For those who are unbelievers, are you seeking for God? Or you still say, no, I only believe in myself. I don't believe in God. And you're here in church to find fault with God. God's speaking to you right now. Jesus Christ is your only Savior. You cannot save yourself. Jesus died for our sins on the cross, shedding His precious blood, according to the Scriptures. And He was buried. On the third day, He rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures. And if we believe, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God had raised Him from dead, we shall be saved. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Will you not confess and repent of your sins today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get right with God and He will bless you. And this lawsuit will be lifted. And He will bless you greatly. Not only life right now, but which is abundant, but life forevermore, eternal. How about those of us who are believers, but we have to check ourselves? Are we truly believers? Are there pseudo or false believers in our midst? We think we believe, we think we are Christians, but actually we are not, we are deceiving ourselves. You check our lives transform and change. Or each time you come to church, you may, you know, go through the motions, do all the activities of the church. You never understood the spiritual things of God from His Word. I know of a member in church, came up to me one time and said, you know, Brother Jeffrey, I've been in church for all these years, and I never understood what pastor was preaching. Now, if you do not understand, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. If you don't understand spiritual things, it may be that the Holy Spirit of God has never indwelt you. You're not born again. We have ears. Do we hear? We have to check ourselves. Let us not deceive ourselves and delude ourselves from thinking that we are believers when we are not. We better check our souls. Those who are disobedient believers here. And we are so much in the world, and we, instead of being transformed, we become more and more conformed to the world and adopt the world's thinking and the world's methods. Have we not broken God's commandments? And let us repent. The Lord says, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have come woefully short of God's glory. And God, as prosecutor and judge, sentences us all to death, for the wages of sin is death. But you know what? The Lord is also a God of love. And He offers salvation. He is patient and kind, and He's long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. And if the Lord is patient right now, withholding His judgment, waiting for you to repent, then don't take this time of grace for granted. Repent right now. And if we confess our sins, the Lord has promised He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we do that. It's inside your heart. You just pray a short prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. And then from verses 3 to 5, we see God's faithfulness. Verses 1 and 2, we saw God's complaint, His lawsuit. And now we see God's faithfulness. Now, having proved the people's sinfulness, the Lord now reminds them of His faithfulness. Look at verse 3 to verse 5. It says here, O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Now, God has already proven beyond shadow of a doubt that Israel stands guilty before Him. And now He asks Israel, do you find any fault in me? Have I done you any wrong? And God here shows them how He has been perfect in His ways, faithful to His promises, very, very good to them. How He delivered them out of bondage from Egypt. And God pleads with them with such tender terms. You know, in verses 3 and 5, we read how the Lord pleaded with them. Oh, my people, oh, my people. Just see a heart of God here, isn't it? How He longs for them to repent, to be reconciled to Him. And they wouldn't. And still the Lord pleads with them, please, draw nigh to me. Change your ways. Obey my commandments. O my people. And the words my people are covenantal words. Words that indicate that the children of Israel had a special relationship with Almighty God. And as the covenant God, God had kept all His covenant promises. He promised them many things, blessing, physical, spiritual. And He has blessed them with the land, flowing with milk and honey, as He promised. You are my people. And so God had done no wrong to them, not at all, but they have done wrong towards Him. They have been treacherous in their ways. They have rebelled against God. And really, when the Lord says, "All my people," He was reminding them of the Exodus. For in Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, the Lord promised the Israelites, "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." And so you know how the Lord had delivered Israel with a powerful and mighty hand. The 10 plagues that humbled mighty Pharaoh. And then He released the children of Israel. How the Lord parted the Red Sea for them, so that they may walk on dry ground to the other side, and delivered from, you know, the murderous armies of Pharaoh who came after them. And how the Lord also gave them His word through His prophets, Moses and Aaron and Miriam, and revealed His will for them. Which nation was so privileged to have God speaking to them like this but the nation of Israel? And how the Lord also protected them from false prophets and from wicked kings like Balak and Balaam. And how the Lord has kept them from Shittim to Gilgal. Shittim to Gilgal here refers to before they are entering the promised land. After they entered the promised land, God has been with them throughout all the time and never forsaken them. And yet they had forsaken God time and time again. And so the Lord now inquires of them, "What wrong have I done to you to deserve such treatment from you?" Of course, the final judgment is this: "I have done nothing wrong to you. You have done everything wrong against me. I have only done you good. I have been faithful to you, but you have been unfaithful to me. You have committed spiritual adultery, went a-whoring after other gods, broken my commandments. But I have always kept my promises. I have always been good and faithful to you." And this shows how great the sin of Israel was, isn't it? And so Israel was utterly guilty before God. And their treachery was exposed through and through. And you may ask the question, is there any hope for Israel? Is there any hope for us if we have sinned in such a way? And the answer is yes. For verses 6 to 8 tells us of God's salvation. God's salvation. And what is God's salvation? It is this. Let's read verses 6 to 8. Here we read, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" So what can I do to make up? Does God want all my money, all my property, all my possessions, all my offerings? Can I buy back or purchase with money my salvation, forgiveness of my sins? And God here says no. All your money means nothing to me at all. All your offerings are useless, in vain. What does God require of us? It says here, isn't it, in verse 8. "He has shown thee, O man," you know, God had already shown this to you, "the way of salvation, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And this reminds us of 1 Samuel 15:22. God says, "Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God wants true faith, true belief from us, and true faith will result in true repentance. For faith without works is dead. God wants us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, Jesus said, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God. Love God and love men. Keep the law, keep the commandments. Faith without works is dead. True faith begets true repentance, and the two sides of the same coin. And today, if you hear God's voice, please do not harden your heart. You know, turn to Hebrews. There's a severe warning here. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Please don't mess with God. Please don't fool around with the Almighty God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, we read this. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Make sure we don't sin willfully. We stubbornly, consistently, repeatedly disobey God, rebel against the truth, and even twist the truth, and call good evil and truth error. That's the unpardonable sin. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. We better be careful not to despise the word of God, not to hold the word of God in contempt, to criticize God's word, to disobey God's word, and to break His commandments. Or how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. God is prosecutor and judge and executioner. It's a fearful thing, dear friends, to fall in the hands of the living God. You don't want God to be your judge. You want Him to be your Savior. You want Him to be your Father, Father in heaven. Will you not come to Him and repent of your sins, and confessing Him, believing in Him, and faith, only faith saves, not works, only faith, not your money. Or you fall on your knees, you confess the Lord in your heart, and believe in His death for you and His resurrection from the dead for your sins, you will be saved. And so if you hear God's voice, you know, Hebrews chapter 3 applies still today. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 15. And here the apostle says, while it is said, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? To whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, with them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. May we not have a heart of unbelief, but a heart full of belief, full of trust, full of faith in God and His words. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You go by your own way, you do your own will, it will lead to death and destruction.
But you go by God's way. You go by His will. It will lead to life and salvation, which is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. O holy God and merciful Father, we come before Thee. In our hearts we know we have failed Thee in so many ways. And we have sinned against Thee, the thrice holy God. Wretched sinners we are, condemned and undone. We don't deserve Thy goodness. We don't deserve Thy salvation. But Thou hast been gracious. Thou hast been loving. And You have provided for us a perfect Savior found in Thy perfect Word. Lord, help us. Help our unbelief, Lord. Be merciful unto us. Help us to believe. Help us not to be unbelieving. Help us to obey and not to disobey. Help us always to walk in the narrow way that leads to life, and to shun the broad way that leads to destruction. You speak to our hearts, Lord. And we pray this morning Thy Spirit will convict and convert many. It will find true salvation indeed in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that they are truly born again and be assured of eternal salvation, never to be lost again, secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.